Well, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26. Today is Sunday, April the 6th, 2025. You are probably familiar with that verse in 1 Peter 2, which says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." This morning, we're going to look at some of the verses that show the price that Jesus Christ paid for you and me. And it's not easy to look at these verses. And I mentioned last week that God had them written so we would know the price he paid for us. Last week we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're kind of picking up the record there in Matthew 26, verse 47. "And while he yet spake," remember they fell asleep, "while he yet spake, lo, Judas," Matthew 26, 47. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." The Gospel of John tells us that this armed multitude were also not only chief priests, but the Pharisees, along with a cohort, which would refer to Roman soldiers. During big festival times, the Romans kind of ramped up the soldiers there, added more just to keep the order, because people would come in from all over the place. Look at Luke. Luke adds something to this. Luke, we're in Matthew, go to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 52. 22:52. "Then Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple," this would be the Jewish temple guard, so everybody was there. "Then Jesus said to the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." If we were to look at all the verses concerning the drama that took place in the garden and following, we would need to be here for several hours, because there's a lot in the Bible. Maybe one of these days we'll do a day in the Word where we'll just put it all together in chronological, sequential order. That would be fun. But I would encourage you, maybe if you have time this week, to review Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John from the arrest all the way to his burial. It's very enlightening. I did that earlier this week, and it's very enlightening. Before we begin reading a number of verses, turn to John 18, which is where we're going to start, looking at what happened to Jesus Christ after he was arrested. And we will see the price he paid for you and me. Before we begin reading in John 18, tradition says that regarding this event in the garden, that Jesus was arrested on Thursday night and then put on trial the next morning, and then that's the day he was crucified, on Friday. But I have a summary here of the accurate chronology and sequence of events, and which is, as many of you know, is in this book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And the detail that's in this book is just amazing, as well as giving you the chronology and the sequence of events. But there is a summary that he put in that book. It's Dr. Werwell's book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. Here's the summary. He was arrested late Monday night and brought first to Annas, Annas was the high priest, and according to Old Testament law, once you are the high priest, you stay the high priest for the rest of your life. But at this time, the Romans decided that Annas shouldn't be the high priest, and his son-in-law was made the high priest by the Romans. His son-in-law's name was Caiaphas. So out of respect, they first brought Jesus to Annas. Then that same night, they brought him before Caiaphas. And in a night trial, which was illegal, you're not allowed to have night trials. Then Tuesday morning at daybreak, the scriptures say, Jesus Christ was brought before the Sanhedrin and others for another trial. Then next, early Tuesday morning, he was brought before Pontius Pilate. And after that encounter, Pilate sent him over to King Herod. Herod then sent him back to Pilate late Tuesday morning, and Pilate appealed to the Judeans three separate times. And then Jesus Christ was then sentenced to die by Pilate, scriptures say, around noon, and that was Tuesday. He was then led to the praetorium, where the Roman soldiers mocked and tortured him. Then the next morning, which would be Wednesday morning, the soldiers led Jesus Christ to Golgotha, where he was crucified. He hung on the cross from approximately 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And he died around 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon and was buried shortly before sunset. So that's kind of the chronology or the sequence of events. Let's look at some of the details in God's word after they arrested him and they took him to Annas. So we're in John 18, verse 19, the high priest, and this is speaking of Annas, the high priest asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Jesus Christ here was standing on legal grounds, according to their law. An accused person did not have to testify. And secondly, if you're accused, you need witnesses to corroborate. You know, they had to agree on what you're being accused of. So Jesus Christ here was standing on really legal terms. Verse 22. So he said, why ask me that? Ask them, they know. Verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of the hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? And again, night trials were illegal. It's important to note in verse 22, palm of the hand, and then in verse 23, smitest. Strike with the palm of the hand is one word in the Greek. It's rapisma. And this word means either to slap sharply with the palm, that we get, or it can also mean to beat with a rod. And a rod in this instance would be a thin whip-like cane. Since Jesus Christ used the word smitest in verse 23, this must have been a rod, because the word smitest in verse 23 is the Greek word dero. Dero means to skin, flay, beat, or thrash. It's interesting, Darby translates this as one of the officers who stood by gave a blow on the face to Jesus. That's how he translates it. Understanding some of these Greek words really helps us in seeing what Jesus Christ went through. His face would probably be bleeding, maybe. Somebody slapped you with a little flexible whip. Ouch. Go to Mark chapter 14. So this encounter there at Anna's house was rather brief. We go to the Gospel of Mark now, chapter 14, where they're going to take Jesus Christ over to Caiaphas. Mark 14, go to verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, Caiaphas. And with him were assembled... Oh, looks like we got the got everybody convened together there. All the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Go down to verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace. Other gospel records tell us they brought in witnesses, and they couldn't agree. In order to be a credible witness, you need more than one, and they have to agree. It was a green car. No, it was a red car. You guys are dismissed. Verse 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus, look at verse 62. Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Whoo! Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him. This word buffet means to beat repeatedly with the fist. That's what that word means. They spit on him, covered his face, started beating on his face. And say unto him, "Prophesy." You know, who is it that's beating you? And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. That's rapismo again. All of that Monday night after the arrest. Man, I wonder what his face looked like. You have people pounding you on your face. You know, you probably get a black eye, you're swollen. I don't know. Word doesn't say if they knocked his teeth out, but they beat on him. Go to Luke 22. And again, we're looking at this morning to see the price he paid for you and me. And hopefully, I think I mentioned this last week, hopefully as we do this, we'll grow in our love and appreciation for our wonderful Savior. Luke 22. So now it's the next morning. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council. We'll get the whole Sanhedrin there as well, you know. We're in Luke 22, verse 66, I'm sorry. Helpful to know what verse, right? Towards the end of Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." I think he made it pretty clear the night before, didn't he? And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You say that I am." That's an affirmative answer. There's other places where it says, "Thou sayest it." it's an affirmative answer. I think, you know, in our culture, we might, something similar would be, you said it. Yeah, you said it. You getting ready to eat? Yeah, you said it. You know, it's an affirmative answer. And verse 71, and they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. He was in not very good shape at that point, from the neck up, we would assume. But now he's going before Pilate. So we're in Luke 23 and we're in verse 2. These guys came and were giving their accusations to Pilate. This is why we brought this man to you. Verse 2. They began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. It's a lie. Saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Yep. Yes. Then said Pilate, look at this. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in this man. What are you doing bringing him here? And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. This is the same Herod that had John the Baptist arrested and then beheaded. His father, Herod the Great, is the one that had all the babies killed around Bethlehem 30 years prior. Verse 8, so now he's on it. They brought him over to Herod. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Oh, maybe he's going to do a miracle for me. Then he questioned with him in many words. So not just one or two, many words. But he, Jesus Christ, answered him, Nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. So there they were saying, yeah, you know, all their crap. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught. My best understanding of set at naught is that it's a word that means that they just despised him. And, well, we could understand that. Here's a guy saying he's the king. Where is he? At Herod's place. Who's Herod? The king? King Herod of that area. And they set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and then sent him back to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Pilate wanted to release Jesus Christ. He appealed to the Jews three separate times. And keep in mind that from the Last Supper through the resurrection, there's lots of detail in all four Gospels. There's no contradictions. They complement each other. They add other information. It's that wonderful research key we learn in the Foundational Walking in God's Power class called Scripture Buildup. One record may not tell everything, but another record regarding the same event can add to that. And really, a lot of times, because people don't understand how all four Gospels fit together as God's Word, then they get confused. They read in one place where there were two thieves crucified with him. And they read another gospel, two malefactors. Oh, they just put it all together and you get the big picture. So, again, we're just looking at a few verses, some of it. And for this second time before Pilate, as well as the crucifixion, we're going to look at some of the verses in the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark. So back to John 18. I think we were there earlier. Let's go to John 18. And he is before Pilate the second time. John 18, 39 is where we're going to pick it up here. John 18, 39. This is Pilate speaking. "But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, verse 1. "Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him." If you know anything about Roman scourging, it was absolutely brutal and savage. And I, you know, it's a number of years ago, I looked it up, you know, just did a little research online, number of different places historically. It just gives you chills just to look at that. And in a number of those places that I looked up, they concurred that many times people just died from the scourging. You know, when the Jews would punish you with whipping, they were only allowed to give you 40 lashes. If they went over 40, then you get lashed. So that's why you read 40 stripes save one. Romans had no number. But just keep whipping. So now Jesus Christ is in pretty lousy shape. They scourged him. Then, verse 2, "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head." Ever gotten stuck with a thorn? Even little thorns hurt, bleeds. And why in the world would they do that? Well, because he's a king. Well, let's give this king a crown. So the pictures we see of this nice, perfectly symmetrical, whatever it is they got from Hobby Lobby or someplace. You know, and then there's always like a little tiny trickle of blood coming down. They grabbed some thorns and just jammed it on his head. You're a king. Makes you cry reading these sometimes. Does me. "And they put on him a purple robe." Yeah, we've got to put some, you know, you're a king, so let you better be wearing royal garbs. What a mocking bunch of... Anyway, verse 3. "And then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And then they smote him with their hands." Rapisma again. Verse 4. So now, Jesus, we know kind of what his face might look like because he had gotten it just so pummeled the night before. Now he's got to be dripping in blood, scourged, thorns on his head. Verse 4, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, Behold the man." And I think Pilate thought that was going to satisfy them. Verse 6, "When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." There's another record where I think Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" The Jews answered him. We're in verse 7. "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he hadn't heard that before, he was more afraid. He's like, what's going on? Where are we at? Verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. These aren't Roman citizens saying this. These are Judean people. Verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, that if you let him go, you're not a friend to Caesar because he's a king. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that's called the pavement, but in the Hebrew it's Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. About what time? Sixth hour. What time is the sixth hour? Noon. Third hour is 9. Sixth hour is noon. Ninth hour is 3. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? Watch this. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them, and that would be to the soldiers, to be crucified. And they, soldiers, took Jesus and led him away. And now we go to Mark's gospel. Mark 15. Pilate wanted to let him go, but got boxed into a corner with the politics. Certainly didn't want word to get back to Rome that he was letting a king go. Mark 15, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And now it gets really brutal. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they call together the whole band. This must have been really something for the soldiers. We got a really cool thing going on today. We have a king here. They clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns. I'm not sure if this means more thorns or not. And they put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Can you just picture this mockery? You know, these are Roman soldiers. These are conquering soldiers. You know, they conquer other countries. What do they do when they conquer a country with the king of that country? Put him up in a royal palace? I don't think so. This was like, here we've got this king right here. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed. This word smote, it's a different word. This is, I think in the Greek word it's tupto. It means to beat with a staff or whip or the fist. Look at this. They smote him on the head with a reed. Bad enough you've got thorns sticking in your head, you're bleeding, your face is all swollen from the beatings before, and now people are beating on your head. And did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. Oh, great king, and all this stuff. And when they, verse 20, And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. So here's the question. When? When did they lead him out to crucify him? His time with the soldiers began when? At noon. We just read that, right? Pilate sentenced him at noon, and then the soldiers took over, and he went into the praetorium. So when? From the accurate chronology, Pilate sentenced him at noon on Tuesday and sent him to the praetorium. When did they lead him out to crucify him? Look at verse 25. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. He was crucified at 9 a.m. Pilate sentenced him at noon. So the next day he was crucified. 9 a.m. the next day. Pilate turned him over to the soldiers around noon, to the whole band of Roman soldiers in the praetorium that mocked him and beat him. How long did they, those soldiers, mock him and beat him? How many soldiers took part? Said they called the whole band in. We got a real prize here today, guys. How long did it go on? Because he wasn't let out to be crucified until 9 o'clock the next morning. God's word doesn't tell us how long. We don't know. But he was certainly in no condition to carry his cross. Do you remember we looked at last week Isaiah's prophecy? That he would be beaten so badly, he wouldn't be recognizable as a human being. Verse 21 says, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Verse 22, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Down to verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross. Can't you do that? Likewise also, the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. You're right. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Keep a marker here and look at Luke 23. A familiar verse. And we're going to come right back here to Mark. But Luke 23. Jesus Christ hanging there in excruciating pain, to say the least. Luke 23, 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a prayer from the cross. I don't think I'd have been able to do that. I would have said something else. Father, take them out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a Savior. Okay, back to Mark 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour, noon, was come, we're in Mark 15:33. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m., verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And the best translation of that is, my God, for this purpose was I spared, or for this purpose was I saved or reserved. This is what I came for. And we close in John 19. My God, for this was I spared. John 19. Everybody there? John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, isn't that amazing? Knowing that all things were now accomplished that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Price paid in full. It's done. Oh my goodness. And that's why it says, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I think in another gospel, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But it is finished. It's done. Wow. That is some of the verses showing the price that he paid for you and for me. And again, it's not easy to read, but God put it in there so we would know. And, you know, taking the time as the great research in this book to see some of those Greek words and what they mean, it just gives you chills to read it, right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me. And as you know, 3 days and three nights later, God raised him from the dead. And he was buried shortly before sunset, if you read the records, right? 3 days and three nights means a complete 72-hour cycle. And we have Jesus' word for that. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. So early Sunday morning, stone was already rolled away. So he wasn't raised Sunday morning. He was raised shortly before sunset on Saturday. And one day he's coming back to get us. Maybe today. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we were healed. And you're probably familiar with 1 Corinthians 6 as well as 1 Corinthians 7 that says, ye are bought with a price. Father, thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, by looking at this, I pray that we can grow in our love and appreciation for what he went through in paying that price for us. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that he paid the price. And thank you that you raised him from the dead and that he is coming back. And Father, may we accept what his payment brought us, the remission and forgiveness of sins, the healing he paid for, and the eternal life that we get to enjoy. Thank you for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.